I dag skal vi være bamsete og gode, fordi at vi skal smake på bamsevin med noen ekte franskmenn. Det en fransk bamse, eller det en kosebamse? Følg med. Hei og hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode av Kjell Svinkjeller og Tom Harald Løvås sin drinkfeed. I dag, Tom, så vi ute på tur. Ikke så langt, vi i hovedstaden, men vi har fått lov å møte flotte folk fra Frankrike, og de kjent for en vin som veldig mange nordmenn kjenner, nemlig bamsevin.
Ja, så bamsevin jo nærmest en institusjon, og fikk vi akkurat vite at den har vært her i 12 år, har den vært på markedet i Norge, og det jo litt sånn, det jo nesten et jubileum, det ikke alle som overlever så lenge. Og vi har fått med oss gutta fra Frankrike, som du sa, og nå skal vi snart bytte over til engelsk, fordi de folka her skjønner jo ikke så mye norsk at de gjør noe, jeg ikke plaga med det. Men Før vi gjør det, Kjell Gabriel, har du noen store minner av denne bamsebrakarvinen?
Ja, altså, dette litt gøy, fordi at jeg veldig glad i kosebamser, eller jeg vet ikke om jeg glad i kosebamser, men jeg synes det veldig hyggelig. Og så når jeg ser, første gang jeg så den, så var det sånn, oi, det var en morsom etikett, bildet en sånn liten bamse på. Og så tenkte jeg, det trenger det å være så godt da. Og så, altså, jeg tror jeg husker første gang jeg smakte den, jeg tror det var i 2016 eller 17. Så da tenkte jeg at dette her en fantastisk kul vin. Og så har den liksom vært liksom i periferien hele tiden. Og nå skal vi jobbe med å prate om det på live podcast også.
Ja, så live som det blir da, sånn som når vi lager det. Right, so we are switching to English now and I have to introduce Elliot. Welcome to you and Christoph. Very nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And Elliot, you are the heir of the house. You are the new generation, or should we say the new wine?
Yeah.
maybe can you tell us a little bit about the house and how this started with your grandfather and your father and so on?
Yeah. He's my grandfather in Cornas in the past is not really famous, and a lot of viticulture, winemaker is just only a big vineyard, and my grandfather have the logic to making not really biologic, but the first biologic vine in the Cornas, and he making terraces, and it's the first time we look. The tree, the grass, mixed in the vine. And we have a biotope very interesting for that now. And my dad just completely the mountain is, what did you say, is you have a vine tree, and my dad destroys the forest for making same, and a lot of terraces for only the only big mountain in the north of Cornas. And now the first time my grandfather making wine is in concrete, and my dad making the first time in barrel in 98, the first. And now he in 17 he thinks barrel is not good for the Syrah, but Syrah is a lot of tannin, very big, full. It's for that now we are only concrete, and is that, and we want making vine mineral and fruity, but it's hard sometimes.
Do you have anything to say about it yet in terms of how to make the wine, or do you are more into the management of the?
For me, yeah. Now I'm the boss of culture in the French. I'm making just the vine, and is my first years. These years I'm making my wine is a carbonic of Syrah. A little bit different style of my dad.
Yeah, we have to put in that you're only 18.
Yeah,
starting early in France. And Christoph, tell us a little bit about the label, the bear, because the name Petit Ours mean little bear.
Absolutely, it's It all comes from a late night, a very late night in Montreal. We were having a meal with different producers, and there's a good friend of Mathieu and me called Stéphane Tissot from Jura, who likes to joke on other people. And he was saying words to Mathieu. Well, Mathieu was saying words to Stéphane, and Stéphane turned around and said, "Shut up, you little bear." Based on the fact that Mathieu is not very tall, quite round, long hair, beard, so he's got a bit of that hairy look. So that's where the name came from. And it's in reference to a kid's storybook. So it's Little Bear learns to brush his teeth, and Little Bear goes to the beach, and Little Bear this. So it's all on the joke. And in 2010, I think, is probably the first vintage, or 2009, Mathieu wanted to make a Syrah-based wine entry-level, because Mathieu originally only has Cornas wines. So as Elliot was saying, it's quite steep vineyards, expensive. You need a lot of labor to run the vineyards. So the wines are expensive. And Mathieu wanted to have an entry-level Syrah to introduce a wider public to his work and style. And that's how the whole wine came to life. And I look after the export sales for Mathieu. And when he came up with the idea, I'm going to put a little bear on the label, I was like, God, Mathieu, this is not a good idea commercially and marketing wise. And it turns out to be a fantastic reverse marketing and a really eye-catcher wine, which has a very good success.
I always say that the French wines are hard to learn to know, because every French wine has chateau something and a building.
Mm.
Norwegian is a chateau, this chateau, I would never know. So you're going in the opposite direction. So maybe that's helping. I think that is
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely a reverse marketing, because the label is very naive. Some people find it a bit stupid, but everybody who sees that label remembers it. And where Mathieu is very good, or very strong, is that the wine is quite serious. So people see the bottle as an easy, simple wine. But when you taste it, you think, oh, there's a lot more than what I expected. So that's why I talk about reverse marketing, is that the promise of the label is a lot lower than what actually the wine is about.
Yeah, because in Norway, we call it the bear wine.
Yeah,
and if it has chateau or something, we haven't called it anything.
Mm.
So for Norwegians, this is a good thing, I think. But is it working in France as well?
Yes, it's a very successful story. He started making probably the first vintage. It was probably 15,000 bottles, and today it's around 200,000 bottles. So it's a great progression. Norway is possibly the biggest market, especially now that we won the test wine. So there's now the monopoly. It's on the shelves of the monopoly. So that's giving a very wide visibility. But we sell a lot in France, in England, in America is a big market as well. So it's really a wine which is touching every type and different types of markets.
But Elliot, are you going to continue with making wine with with the little animals on?
On the style of wine?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a little rabbit or something?
No. It's the beer now where you have a lot of different bottle of this label, because people like this label. And we have a big difference of the beer for the negos. And the Domaine du Coulet is a real wine. Enfin, real wine. It's fake, but it's normal. It's a wine vine we making. And the difference is good for that. And I think it's never changed.
I think maybe we should prepare a little tasting, because we today we have two vintages. We have the 22, which are on sale now. And also we're going to try the 23, who is on their way into the shelves in the wine monopoly. And we have some help here. It's a wonderful sound, isn't it?
Dette altså nå koser vi oss, Tom.
Altså, dette dritkult. Og det jo hyggelig å høre på de gutta her. De vet jo hva de snakker om.
Ja, altså, for dere som ikke så stø i engelsk, så det at det bamsevin jo rett og slett blitt en ikonisk vin, og veldig utypisk at de har bamse på etikett, i og med at det alle viner i Frankrike heter Chateau et eller annet, så jeg liker det.
Ja, altså, vi liker det begge to. So you guys are going to guide us through the tasting. And because of the rules here in Norway, you are not allowed, you two guys are not allowed to tell us how you feel about it. That's up to Kjell Gabriel and I.
Absolutely.
So, but we can we can try by describing the style and the wine. So this is the 22
vintage. So the making of this wine is actually a forehand partnership between Mathieu, as I explained, looking for an entry-level Syrah. But in Northern Rhône, Côte du Rhône Syrah is very rare. It's very small surface planted. So you're either in Saint-Joseph or in Croz-Hermitage. So you're already either in an upper level of style of wine. So he's very good friends with a producer in the northern part of Southern Rhône around the village of Visan, Rémy Puisin. And they did a partnership, so probably 15 years ago now, where they selected vineyards which are all in cooler areas facing north, catching the Mistral. All only Syrah, so it is a 100% Syrah-based wine. But the idea was to find fresh areas where the Syrah wouldn't get too rich and too ripe. And then there's a whole protocol of harvesting and winemaking. So the idea is not to harvest above 13, 13.5, whatever the vintage conditions. So sometimes the Syrah is considered as not ripe enough, but by doing that, it keeps a very Northern Rhône style. And Syrah is a versatile grape because when it overripes, it gets quickly very rich and fat. And like if people have heard or tasted some Australian Shiraz, it's a complete different world than the Petit Ours, where it doesn't have that overweight. It's a lot more lean and fresh and fruit, red fruit driven.
So will this be a typical wine? That 22 vintage, typical wine for the expression that you're looking for. If you put your nose in it, yeah. can you say that this is spot on, or is it lacking something?
No, it's typical for 22. 22 was a very, very hot and very dry vintage. We didn't see a drop of water since January to mid-August, roughly, or very small amounts of water. The vines suffered a lot. They went through a period of hydric stress where they stop maturing. But when they stop maturing, they stop producing sugar. The vine goes in a survival mode, so it doesn't put the strength in the fruit. It just keeps the strength for the plant. And because it stops producing sugar, it also stops degrading acidity. And mid-August, we had a miraculous rain, which unlocked that hydric stress. The vines continued maturing, but kept a high level of natural acidity. So from a very hot and dry vintage, we have a very elegant and fresh result because the alcohol is not very high and the acidity is quite high. So it's a quite a contradictive year, but we're super happy for the result. And that's true all the southeast part of France. It's the same conditions. So it turns out to be quite a delicate, not over mature result.
Hva tenker du, Kjell Gabriel? Altså, dette bamsevin for deg? Nå har vi ikke smakt 23-årgangen riktig enda. Det blir jo spennende å se hvordan den blir, men vi hører på mannen her. Det ikke bare å sette noen planter i jorda, så kommer det druer. Altså, tenk på, hører på alt dette med vær, og det mangler regn og sånt. Det jo ganske komplekse ting som de driver og snakker om.
Ja, altså her, han sier jo det, at det var grisevart, det var ikke en dråpe før i august, og det et problem de har. Altså, det rett og slett begynner å bli varmt, så han var flaks hadde ikke, det vi må spørre om, hadde ikke dette regnskillet kommet, hva hadde skjedd da?
Ja, det kan vi ta med, men det kan vi spørre om på neste år, for jeg vet ikke hvordan 23-årgangen var i det hele tatt.
Nei, men jeg lurer, if it didn't rain in August,
it would have been a dramatic vintage.
Yeah.
Because the crop would have been very small, the berries were very, very little, very little amount of water, and because of the heat, we say that the berries concentrate. It's just the water evaporating out of the berry. And then, of course, you concentrate with sugar. And the risk is to have a vintage which is has passed the balance limit and which is over-concentrated. And that has been quite a fashion in the past vintages. But today, producers are looking really for that very thin point of balance between maturity, alcohol, well, sugar, and acidity.
So I'm very excited to try the 23 now and compare, because what do we know about the weather in the next vintage?
On the 23 or 24?
23.
We are going to taste now. Yeah, 23 for petit, for little beer, we try to making the same phenolic and flavor of every years. But 23 is a little bit more mineral, more fresh. And is young, but is a vintage I love for Syrah. It's very interesting.
Det kommer til å bli kult, Kjell Gabriel. Altså, bare for å si hva jeg tenker om den første, den som i salg nå, den 22-årgangen. Jeg synes den var veldig rund og god og koselig og litt sånn, ja, litt sånn teddybjørn-aktig på en måte. Altså, den hadde jo både tanniner og syre og alt mulig, men det var en kosevin.
Ja, altså nå det blitt høst, og det jo perfekt med syrabaserte viner nå. Altså bamsevin, ja, det en kosevin, det passer på hytta. Det, altså, den har disse mørke bærene, den deilige frukten, det liksom, det ikke veldig tanninrik, den ganske mye sånn behagelig. Altså dette her, kan du bare sitte og kose deg med foran peisen på hytta, eller hjemme i stua, eller trenger ikke dra på hytta for å drikke dette her. Kan du drikke overalt, og det synes jeg ganske... Altså, det en folkelig vin. Alle synes at, oi, dette var godt.
Folkelig var et bra ord for denne runden her. So, let's go to the 23. And I'm very curious about if I can detect any differences in the overall expression, because... Of course, it is young, like you said, Elliot. But what can I expect now before I put my nose in it?
Well, 23 is a more of a sort of a ideal vintage as a winemaker's perspective, because the rain arrived more or less every time it was needed. So it's Cornas has a sort of mixture. Well, this wine comes from a Mediterranean climate, which can have very long periods of drought and high temperatures, but there was always rain. Needed, so it's a lot more balanced vintage, a lot less stress on the plants and stress on the producers because, of course, you can't control the weather, but you try and compensate the best you can. So it's ideal as a producer, and it's a very balanced, classical vintage with not too much excess, but enough fruit and enough acidity. So it's a slightly more classical than 22. Not as much probably fruit expression because it's just a little bit more balanced and how would you say that with less excess through the year.
Nå har du lukta, Kjell Gabriel, hva tenker du?
Jeg både lukta og smakt, jeg er ikke vond å be. Det mer krydder i 23, den ikke så fruktdrevet som han akkurat sa, og det var akkurat det når han sa, tenkte jeg. Det litt sånn, når folk sier det du akkurat sitter og tenker på, altså her det litt mer spice notes, ikke så mye frukt, hva tenker du selv?
Jeg helt enig med det kryddergreiene, men det hjalp jo at han fortalte meg hva jeg skulle smake, da. Men ja, den ung, den trenger nok litt mer tid på å hvile seg i flaskene, men veldig, veldig lovende vin. Den mer for... Mer for mat, tenker jeg. Altså, det ikke bare kos foran peisen, vin, liksom.
Nei, her kommer fort høsteretter inn med soppbaserte sauser og noe vilt og noe som du har skutt selv. Altså, nordmenn veldig stolte av ting de har skutt selv.
Ja, altså, da snakker vi om dyr. Vi ikke amerikanere, liksom, som... Nei, ok, vi går ikke dit.
Så mange spiser i hvert fall. Men altså, i visse miljøer det sikkert mye rart som skjer, men det var mer, jeg tenkte på firbeinte, hårette saker som man finner i skogen. Det var akkurat det jeg tenkte på.
Så, what is the prospect for the little bear? Are you going to continue to develop it, or are you happy as it is now, Elliot?
For little beer now, we like little beer, but we prefer more variety of the gamme. But I think little beer the quantity in 23 is very important because it's vintage. We want that. We want that the vintage and. For me, the little beer, for sure, is the bottle of the vineyard we making a lot because people love that. We don't know why, but people love a little beer.
Christoph, can you give us a little peek in the future of that particular brand?
Well, the Little Bear is going to stay, if the weather permits, in the same lines of style. But it's true that what Mathieu's been doing is he's been piggybacking on this cuvée with other wines and selecting Syrah from the Provençal Drôme, which is a bit more north of Visan, on limestone. Then he's also been buying some grapes with other producers in Ardèche, which have more altitude vineyards on very dry, rocky limestone. So it's different terroir. So the idea is to continue working with the bear, presented on different ways or different situations on the label, but mainly to highlight different types of terroir expressed always with the same Syrah, just producing different wines. So really highlighting the effect of the terroir. And Mathieu really looks to make wines which are very digestible. That's why there's no oak. It's a lot of fruit, a lot of freshness. He and every type of wine he produces, he's trying to make a wine which is very pleasing. And it can be easy wines, but not simple wines. And it's all of course organic farming. The estate is worked in Baudenami and the Petit Ours, it's some parts are worked in Baudenami, but everything is certified organic farming. So again, with no synthetic molecules, as for the winemaking, there's no additives. It's all, apart from a bit of sulfite to stabilize the wine, but the idea that plays as well in that sort of high digestible profile.
Veldig spennende å høre hvordan du har tenkt å dra dette her videre. Vi skal runde av nå hvert øyeblikk, Kjell Gabriel, men jeg synes bamsevin lever I beste velgående. Ja. Det har egentlig vært ganske interessant å bli med på denne lille mini-smakingen med gutta. Hva synes du?
Altså, jeg tror at det veldig mange som setter pris på bamsevin og har liksom den der liksom en litt sånn sin greie. Og så tror jeg mange av de som hører på denne episoden nå bare bamsevin har aldri hørt om. Fordi jeg tror du må være litt inn I vinmiljøet for å vite egentlig hva det Men nå folk blitt opplyst da, og at bamsevin rett og slett en syrah fra Nordrån med en etikett som ser ut som en liten teddybjørn på utsiden, og veldig kul og charmerende. Og vinen, produktet inni, som han sa I sted, at det var litt sånn, tør vi gjøre en så kul etikett I det der konservative franske miljøet? Og så har jo det funket som bare juling.
Det har det, og bare for hvis noen lurte da, så har vi jo, altså det koster jo penger dette her, men ikke all verden synes jeg, mye tippere enn som ligger på da. Den til salgs på alle vinmonopol, mesteparten, det stort sett I basis I hvert fall. Du kan gå inn en butikk og kjøpe den. Hvor mye tror du?
Ja, altså dette dårlig gjort, for det som regel jeg som får vite hva, men jeg tipper 260 kanskje?
Oj, ja, du priser den opp. 2,35 koster 22-årgangen som ute nå. Og jeg synes jo egentlig det når du hører på all den jobben, alt det greiene som de gutta har lagt ned og holdt på her, ja, nå det enda en generasjon som sitter og jobber med det, da ikke det gærent, spør du meg altså.
Nei, jeg skulle ønske at fatteren og bestefatteren og så videre eide noen vingårder, det gjør de ikke, så jeg får bo I rekkehus I Asker forløpig. Men dette her gøy, dette her.
Da sier vi tusen takk til gutta. Thank you very much, gentlemen. So glad to have you on the show. And I'm very excited to follow the label further on.